We have choreographed the service today. So I'm so glad that you are joining us here in this special service from the Traverse County Fair. Worship is an important part of what we do, but it's not all that we do. Did you know that the church is commissioned to build? That's right. And if you happen to stop by the building site this week, you'll see that the walls are up, the rafters are in place, half the sheeting is on the roof. It's pretty amazing. We are building the church. But you know, that's not actually the kind of church building that Jesus had in mind when he commissioned his disciples to go and make followers. He said, go and make disciples. And we do need more space, certainly, so we're building a building, but Jesus commissioned his followers to build disciples, to build followers for him. So I have some builders up here that we're going to talk with and discuss what that's all about. So we're going to start with you, Matt. So we are actually building onto the facility at Bethlehem Church, and you serve on the building task force, all right? Is that right? So you're one of the go-to people for the project. So make sure the mic's on there. What is your occupation, Matt?
I am the parts manager at Kibble Equipment in Wheaton.
So let me get this straight. You're on the building task force, but you're not a builder.
Correct.
So how is it that you end up being a leader on the task force, Matt?
I just wanted to make sure the project got started and get going, and it has, and with the help of a lot of other people on the task force and a lot of local talent. It's going well. It got a slow start, but it's getting there.
So you'd say it's been a breeze?
No.
So Matt, when we talked about this building or expansion project, we talked about that not being the goal, that the goal is actually the equipping ministry that takes place within that new facility. So Matt, how else do you serve in the church?
Well, a few years ago, I had the privilege of starting with Stephen and Jackie the Abilities Ministry, and we meet every Wednesday evening with some awesome people, and we talk about God, and we pray, and we have a lot of fun and a lot of root beer.
That sounds good. So, what is that like for you when you're serving in the Abilities Ministry?
It's awesome. You know, I get home from work, and I always tell my wife, I say, I feel good just to stay home. But then I get there, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, we have so much fun, and we laugh, and it's so fulfilling for me. When I get home, I don't think I can stop talking about it with my wife and just chabber around, and it's fun.
So my final question, or one of my questions here is, how do you see the Abilities Ministry as building up the church? So that ministry, how is that building up the church?
Well, I think there was there was a need for the people in our group to get together. They didn't really go to a study, per se, a Bible study. And some vision for some people that there was a need for it, so they started it, and I don't know, it gives me joy, it gives me God's hope that we're doing something good, and I learn a lot from them that in the group, and the people that help me are just awesome, so I think it just fulfills a part of God's role in the church.
Thank you, Matt. You probably kind of already answered this last question, but just for our sakes, we that are listening, you know, all of the ways you're serving, what motivates you? Why do you do it?
I like to help. I like to be involved. I think not only the church, but the community needs people to step up, or else there is, you know, you don't get stuff done. You don't get new programs going. And God's love, I guess, is why I do it, and the love of the people in our group and the love of the church. And I just want to see everything grow. And I think this new addition especially will bring some more people, more kids especially, to the church, and that is our, that's our future of the church as the kids. So I'm glad that I'm glad it's going well.
Thank you, Matt.
Yep. I'd like to thank everybody that's doing it, too. I know Aaron's here this morning. I don't know how he's fast, man. Holy cow. And Todd and Steve, everybody that's been involved, they've been awesome. So thank you.
You're welcome, Matt. So I want you to know, Matt, that the work that you're doing, not just with the building, but with the abilities and all the ways that you touch the lives of people within the church and the young folks, you are making a huge difference. You are building the church. So thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. So the Apostle Paul, he calls the church the body of Christ. So I suppose that we could call you, Matt, the bodybuilder.
Probably not.
So I'm grateful for you. The letter in the Ephesians in the New Testament, it says that the work of church leadership is this, he says, to equip his people for works of service, right? Equipping for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So this reminds us that the church is commissioned to build, and we build by serving. So you've heard of a worship service, right? That's what we're doing right here, a worship service. But have you ever considered service as worship? So what else does building service look like? So Drake's up here. He's a builder. In fact, you got up early this morning, right? Before most of us. So what time did you get here?
6:30.
6:30. And so can you tell us what you've been doing this morning and what all that involves?
So we got at the church, 6:30, got everything picked up to bring over to the fair here, and we started hooking up all the microphones, getting everything set for right now, basically, and it's been a great time with me and Rick this morning, and yeah.
All right, that's awesome. So can you share what other clubs and the booths and things? This isn't all you've done at the fair, right? What other things are you doing?
Yeah, I've helped at the 4-H canteen on Thursday and the sports boosters last night.
All right, so you fed some of us.
Some of them.
All right. So how old are you, Drake?
14.
14 years old. All right. So how'd you get started serving as a tech volunteer?
It's been probably a good year or so. I've been helping Rick in the back of the church. And just about a month ago, he reached out to me and wanted to train me in. So that went good. And now I'd say I'm a part of that, I feel like.
All right. That's awesome. We appreciate you. It takes a whole team of people to make a worship service happen, and especially here at the fair. So I want you to know, Drake, that you are building the church through your service. So good job. I'm proud of you. Way to go. So Katie also is up here serving. When I asked you about why you serve, you said for the fame and fortune. So how's that working for you?
I was totally kidding. Just kidding.
You were totally kidding, and we know that because even though we see you up here up front from singing and involved, you are by far, far more often behind the scenes, week in, week out, serving with love and care, in so many different ways. So I want to ask you this, Katie. You know, you can serve in many ways, but what motivates you? Why do you serve?
Well, I don't know. It's hard to. I love Jesus, and we're created to do good works. It's not about earning our way to heaven. It's just that's what we're called to do.
Yeah. Have you considered preaching?
Kids.
So what are some of the ways that you serve at Bethlehem Church?
I get to sing on the worship team and. Along with Mrs. Apple, I teach Little Flock Preschool, and we're just starting our 24th year, so that's been a long time.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So in all those ways that you serve, Katie, you know, Little Flock, how do you see that as building up the church?
We get to teach little kids what life is all about. We get to teach them that they're created by God and they were made for a purpose, and we get to teach stories in the Bible, and then they get to go home and tell their families or teach their other siblings. And we've heard parents over the years, over and over, parents will say, oh, my three-year-old came home and told me that in a story from the Bible. And so that we're teaching kids, and then they get to go home and teach others and maybe teach their friends and just know they're loved by God.
That's awesome. You know, we appreciate the work that you've been doing for decades now, building foundations within these little kids, you know, a whole generation that has grown up to know about Jesus because of the service that you have done. So you are having a far-reaching impact on the kingdom of God and the reach of the church. So we want to thank you, Katie, for the service that you have given for God. So thank you. Mm-hmm. So again, we share our gratitude for all three of these. Gratitude to God for how he is raising up people to serve in the church. So thank you. You can go. Thanks, Drake. So the title of this preaching series is called Building Community. And the community that we are building is the church. In verse 12, the apostle says, so that the body of Christ, the church, may be built up. So according to Paul, that makes all of us in the church kind of like Matt, right? We're all bodybuilders. So I'm going to encourage you to, let's do some building. So raise your arms, lift them up. We're going to do 5 reps. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That looks awesome from up here. So the church is commissioned, right, to build itself up. So as we build the church, we build a community that encompasses the life that God intends for his people, a life of fullness and a life of blessing, the life we all desire deep within to live. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And we see that all around us, right? Communities breaking down, crumbling, falling apart. That is the work of the enemy. That is the work of the devil. But Jesus and his community are this Holy Spirit-empowered opposition to broken community. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. Life in all of its fullness, all of its goodness. He says, and to have it to the full. So Jesus commissioned the church to grow and have life. And I know that you want the church to grow. I want the church to grow. And you and I want to include a whole bunch of new people in the kind of community that is full of abundance and full of joy and full of this life together. And we are here, you know, that we want to hear every day people saying, I love my church, right? I love my church. And I love the people of my church. So why? Because the church is Jesus' body, full of life and full of healing and wholeness and blessing. So how does that happen? How do we keep building the church? You know, as much as I love great worship, the Apostle Paul in his letter, he doesn't start there with worship service. He highlights service that becomes an act of worship. So as the church is built up, it's filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God, all of who God is. Paul says, and to him be glory in the church. That's really, really significant here. He says that in the church, it's part of God's glory. We reflect God's glory. We participate in it. And in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever, amen. So the worship in all of its fullness is the kind of community that happens through works of service. One of the challenges of being this kind of church is we don't always recognize what it means to serve or how to serve or what it looks like for us to serve. We might ask, how can I do that? What can I do? Who can I serve? What does it accomplish? Well, that's a good thing. We saw examples. We heard some examples of how it serves. Might inspire us in the ways that God has equipped us to serve. But what's the goal, right? Why serve? Again, we looked at the Apostle Paul in his letter for answers. He's talking about equipping and building the church, and then he gets to the reason. He says, until we all, say all, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. So the goal of the whole church is that everyone grows up. So, who's growing up and spiritually mature? Raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. You know, the goal is that every one of us grows up. So, is Drake grown up? Because he is now serving in the church. Does that mean he's grown up? Or how about bodybuilder Matt? Is he mature? Let's see those muscles, Matt. All right. Or how about Katie? She must measure up, right, after all those years of serving and raising up kids. She must be mature, right? So how about you? Are you spiritually mature? Are you growing up spiritually? So what is the measure of that? How do we know if we're reflecting that maturity? Well, the measure of maturity is Jesus. Jesus is our measure of maturity. So how much you and I look like Jesus, it's the best measure of how grown up we are. So I know that in my own personal measuring, I have personally some bodybuilding to do. How about you? All right, well, let's lift our arms. 5 reps, ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We are building the body, and it includes each one of us every day. The language of the apostle is it's inclusive. He says, we all reach maturity. So how do we start? How do we start? Kerry Newhoff says that he's a pastor. He's a leadership development author. He says this, people rise and fall to our level of expectations. People rise and fall to the level of our expectations. So let me be clear. As pastor, what I expect of you at Bethlehem Church. And it's probably, actually, the same thing that you expect of me, to serve. You expect me to serve? I expect you to serve. The apostle writes about his expectation for the church. He says, so Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service. So Paul expects, you know, those that are in those leadership roles to serve by equipping the whole church to serve. So the expectation is that all of us, what? Serve. That's right. So I'm just going to put out my expectation at the same level as the Apostle Paul for the church. I expect you to serve. So who's the church? We are the church. And who is the measure of maturity? Jesus, right? Jesus is the measure of maturity. And Jesus said, greatness is measured by your service to others. So Katie joked about fame and fortune. Greatness, right? It's measured by your service to others. Jesus said, for even the Son of Man himself did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So just like Jesus, our expectation at Bethlehem Church is that everyone serves. You are a community builder. You are commissioned to build by serving Christ's church. And we keep going until what? Until we're all mature, until we're all like Jesus. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We're never going to get there. Not until Jesus comes. We're not going to get there. So our call to serve is continual, continuous. And here's why we're not going to get there. Someone recently told me, we were talking about church building at Bethlehem Church, and they said, your church already does a great job of serving. And you do. You are amazing. This church is, you just love people and you go out and do whatever it is that God has called you to do. You serve. And that's partly why we're not going to get to that full maturity. Because I know that you're not going to be satisfied with serving only those who are here in the church. because you have a heart to reach out to your friends and your family and to loved ones and neighbors, to belong to this community, to be part of what God has called us to be. And because you keep inviting people, and because people keep joining this mission movement, that we continue to have opportunity to grow in the knowledge of God with new believers, and to invite more people into that unity of faith as we get to grow together as people of God, and more people to grow more and more like Jesus as we all become mature. So this work continues. It's a continual work in progress, and that's the joy of it. It really is. Because as we serve and grow and mature and find ways to include more people in this life God has called us to, we keep equipping them to grow and serve. And we're always going to be in this process of maturing. So therefore, you will always build by serving. Question is, how are you serving? How are you serving? For some of you, the Holy Spirit has already been leading you in some ways that are prompting you that, hey, I could step in and do this and serve this. My encouragement to you is begin that. Start doing that. Take a chance. See how it works. If God is leading you there, then step in and serve. There's so many opportunities to do that. For some of you, that's what it takes, a chance. And I want to encourage you to do that because you just might find that that place that God has called you to serve is not the place God called you to serve. In other words, it might be a big fail. It's okay. If you fail in trying, we accept that here at Bethlehem Church. But that just tells you that God has another place for you to serve, and so you get to try something new. But you just might, right? You just might find that place where you fit, where, like Matt says, it just fills him with life, where you come home at the end of the day and you're not beat and tired. You might be physically exhausted, but you're full of life because you have been pouring out and God has been pouring into you as you do it, the life that God has called you to. So the goal is to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Together, right? As a church. Pastor Greg, he talked about joining a life group this fall. A group that you can begin to gather with and meet with however your group chooses to meet. For three reasons, three purposes. One would be for to grow in the knowledge of God's word, to be equipped in that way. Number two would be to grow in community in this life together as a small group, caring and loving each other. And third, we challenge each other to serve as God's people, whether in a group or through your individual gifts. It's all part of what it means to be part of that life group. Now, some of you may say, hey, Pastor Tim, are you oblivious to the fact that the harvest is coming? I'm not. I grew up on the farm. I get that. I realize that. We're all busy. We all have things. But don't let that inhibit you from joining a life group, because that group is about caring and loving and working together in whatever circumstances life brings to do life together as the church. So I want to encourage you to go online, click on the link at bethcov.org, and follow the link to life groups and sign up and see where it takes you. So my job is to equip you to serve. So if you're unsure what that looks like, please come and talk to me. I'd love to have that conversation with you. In fact, I'm looking forward to that. And so is the rest of staff or your leaders in church. Just start talking to people and say, how can I serve? What is there to do? Where is God leading me? About 25 years ago, Stan Dobbs was working in a church and he recognized an incredible number of singles and young couples that were living in apartments in his city, reported feeling lonely and unable to connect with people. Wow, that is like the epidemic of the last 3 years, right? And so Stan had an unusual idea. He launched an organization called Apartment Life with a goal of penetrating the walls of these apartment buildings with the message of the gospel. And here's how he did it. They created care teams of a married couple, and they were given a free apartment to live in. But with that came 80 volunteer hours a month to assist the apartment complex management in building community as they served the residents. So in exchange for free rent, they had the job of creating a more vibrant sense of community by kind of being like chaplains. They would visit the sick, hold community events, set up basketball leagues, throw pool parties, all designed to bring people together. And it's a work that built this strong sense of community. It was very successful. And at the heart of it is this Christian commitment by the couples who were part of this. The apartment owners were thrilled because it created community and life for the residents. And it also was a witness to Christ's love. So, you know, we probably don't have huge apartment complexes here. And yet, we still have people who are lonely and left out and hurting and need community and fellowship. God calls us to serve, to bring people together, to be part of that mission of following Jesus. So, that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So what does it look like at Bethlehem Church? I want to invite Gene and Glenn Drayful to come up here. And as they do, I'm going to just talk a little bit about the life that they, a ministry that they have been doing, serving here at Bethlehem Church. So they came to us pretty well fully equipped. In other words, some other church did all the work of equipping and raising you up. And then you came here. And one of the first things that you did was ask, how can I serve? So you can stand if you'd like up here. How can I serve? And you just stepped in with the gifts and abilities and things that God had for you to do. Like Glenn, you have been an integral part of the men's group that meets every Saturday morning at Bethlehem Church from men from all kinds of communities. And you have prayed for, built relationships, cared for, served so many of those men and others that are in the church as well. And Gene, you have been steadfast, just totally amazing. I am in awe of the care that you have given to our church. It is just completely beyond, I think, what most of us even realize or can imagine. You have been with those who are sick. You have sent greeting cards, even people that, to be honest, have drifted a little away. You've reached out to them and made them know that they're loved and cared for. You have both have hauled people back and forth on trips to doctor's appointments, whenever is needed, all of this stuff happening behind the scenes. Gene, you sat with one of our own, Judith, as she was dying, and you just sat and were with her because her family was ill and couldn't be there. And you just served with the love and heart of Christ. And it has made such a difference. You truly are church builders. And we're grateful and thankful. I don't know if all of you know, but they are going to be moving on to serve in a new capacity in Ohio. Is that right? And I just on my behalf, I know we're going to miss you deeply, but so grateful for the work that God has done. And so I want to honor Christ, but in doing so, honor them for that kind of service that they do. So would you please give them a round of applause? We're church builders. Raise your arms. On behalf of the work that Christ is doing in us, we're building. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Christ has called us to build his church. Thank you so much for the work that you do. God bless you. Peace. God bless you. Peace, brother.
That's the reason I'm here. That's the reason I'm here.
Amen. Glenn says, that's the reason I'm here. Absolutely.
Well, Christ served, and so we are to serve as Christ. Christ served, and as he served, he expects us to serve. And I guess it's just been a natural. And probably born and raised with it, I don't know. But he's always used me in many, many different capacities and ways, and he's given me the strength and the ability to do it. And I thank all the people, too, that have helped with this ministry, the care ministry that we've had. And my only prayer is that it will continue on with somebody else. I know I had a little team that started with me at first, but COVID hit and we had to stop. And but they've been in there encouraging for prayer and support that way. But I pray that somebody else will step up and move it on even in greater ways than I did.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me give you a little background. About 34 years ago, I started first worship with this group. And then in 2011, I started all summer worship with this group. And I lived in Ohio. And in 2018, I started full-time every week worshiping with this group. And they say, that's a long time. That's 34. Why are you still here? This is where I'm being fed well.
That's
the main reason I'm still here. But the men's biblical base, I call it the men's fellowship, biblical based fellowship, every Saturday morning has been a highlight, and the worship has been the frosting on the cake for me. And we have about 12 people, and if it's so good, why isn't more? The Holy Spirit holds us to a number that we can share individually and have a fair share. So I'm not a leader to it. I'm a facilitator. And I turn it over to one that's well qualified. And his name is Kirk Weber. And he's doing a tremendous job. And I know he does a job. And we started last week. He starts with a question that's like,
yeah.
That's a great question. No answer to it. Like, how do I know when I'm mature enough to spread the seed in people's hearts? And I'm like, that's a good question. That's a good question for all of us. But it's been great. It's been great.
Can we pray for you before you go down? Thank you so much. Yeah, we always need that. So let's pray. Father, thank you for these two that serve you so well. Lord, thank you for the ways that they have built up Bethlehem Church, each one of us. And I pray now, Lord, as they follow you in this journey ahead and your Holy Spirit, that you will lead them to where you have called them to serve well again. And as they do, may they find all the fullness and richness of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're welcome. So why have we spent all of this time describing how people have served? Because in the church, it's who we are. And it's given us opportunities to see different ways that people serve, and that may or may not be you. But I know that God has gifted you and called you for a specific ministry of specific service. So the church is commissioned to build, and we build through serving, to equip God's people for works of service. As the praise team comes forward, as we sing our closing song, I want to invite you into a prayer. Lord, we come before you today knowing that you have called us. We want the life that you have for us. And we know, Lord, you have called us to serve. So help us, Lord, to be courageous to step into those ways that you have called. Lord, I pray if someone here is wondering, how is it, Lord, that you've called me? Then I pray that you would begin to prompt them, put someone in their life, in their way, like a Rick or a Glenn or whoever that may be, to show them an opportunity to serve. And Lord, where that's lacking, by your Spirit, allow them the courage to come and ask, can I serve here? And Lord, for those who just have this deep desire to know what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, Lord, knowing that you're calling them to something more in life, but yet don't know you as Lord and Savior, that relationship with you. If that's you today, if you desire to know who God has made you to be, then I invite you to call in the name of the Lord. The scripture says, all who call in the name of the Lord will be saved. So just simply say, Jesus, I need you. Lord, forgive me. Fill me with your Spirit. Show me how I am to serve. In Jesus' name, amen.